You're listening to Take It to the Mat, Martial Arts Talk with Nathan Witt and Kenny Malden. All right, welcome back to Martial Arts Talk Radio. This is Nathan Witt, your host, my co-host, Kenny Malden.
And we're going to be trying to finish up the Jeet Kune Do topic of the last couple weeks and hopefully get that done for you and answer all the questions.
Right. We have a big show today, so we're going to go ahead and jump right on into traditional systems. I'm going to play this.
Traditional system.
All right, this is Traditional Systems. We've been talking about Jeet Kune Do. We're going to go ahead and cover a few things here, and probably next week we'll end up hitting mixed martial arts. Probably do a 2 or 3 week segment on it as well. And I see here we've got in our notes to cover Jeet Kune Do's four ranges of attack. Go ahead and tell the people what that is.
The Jeet Kune Do four ranges attack originally was set up with three ranges of attack, and that was your long range, medium range, and close range. And what that has been broken down into is four ranges. Bruce Lee later broke that down into four ranges of attack, which was your kicking range, your punching range, your trapping range, and your grappling range. The big kicker about the four ranges combat is to know what range you are best at and try to maintain that range.
Right.
Obviously having four ranges of attack, we definitely want to be adequate in all four ranges.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Lee wanted you to train in all four ranges. If you're a JKD practitioner, it's very important to become adequate in kicking, punching, trapping, and grappling. However, you need to specialize, for lack of better words, or focus on whatever comes natural. Bruce Lee was really big about not changing a person's natural abilities or try to make them or mold them into mini Bruce Lees.
Right. Well, you know, I know one thing that we do with our Jeet Kune Do classes and teaching us stuff is that we will teach Jeet Kune Do from beginning to end, and then we will teach specialized courses to go along with the range that you are most comfortable with. So essentially what we'll do is we'll teach Jeet Kune Do, and then we will teach, say, jiu-jitsu to enhance your grappling range.
And that's one of the things that's very important. You know, we're talking about original JKD. It's very important that you learn the original core of Bruce Lee's teaching, not just philosophy, but technique. And then Bruce Lee, his own signs that he hung in his classroom, taught you to go out, do your own research, absorb what is useful, discard what is useless. That means he wants you to look into the jiu-jitsu. He wanted you to look into the Filipino arts. But you had to start with the core. And,
right.
You know, specialize in what comes natural. I totally agree with the specialization. We're totally on the same page with that. I totally agree.
Right.
Moving on into the five ways of attack. That's very important. There are five ways of attack. And let's just start with the single most basic way. You have the single angulated attack and single direct attack, which they are one and the same. If you're looking in Bruce Lee's books, if you're looking in his notes, you'll find that the single angulated attack, basically what it means is single meaning one, direct attack would be straight to the target.
Right.
Single angulated attack would mean I might sidestep, but I take the path that's still most direct to the target. But while I'm sidestepped, I may have leaned, or I may have the attack is still angulated. It still takes the most direct path,
right?
But it comes at an angle. Then the next thing, attack by combination or ABC. If you want to, I mean, this is very simple. You can go ahead and, give us your thoughts on that as well.
Well, I mean,
You know?
Attack by Combination. I mean, and here's the comical thing about that. It is exactly what it says.
Exactly.
It's attacking by combination. Now, that combination can be any combination of a mixture of the ranges, a mixture of the movements. You can attack by combination would be, for instance, to use an entering kick, to throw a jab cross, move straight into trapping, maybe a Tang Sao or Lop Sao, and then a takedown into grappling, producing the armbar. That is attack by combination. Does it need to be that combination every time? No, but it is attack by combination. You have moved through the ranges and you have used multiple things to get to where you're going.
And the beautiful thing, it can be as simple as a double jab and a cross.
Right.
I
Oh,
mean,
yeah.
it don't have to be anything fancy.
Right.
You know, and the reason why I gave that to you is because even though we're taught to follow up in JKD, Nathan is more of a combination artist. He specializes in the combinations as far as staying within a range. And he's very good at staying within a range. If he's punching and he starts a punching combination, he's very comfortable at throwing just the punches or throwing just the kicks, or he's very comfortable at that. Whereas I tend to like to flow from one range to the other.
Yes.
My combination normally would be what you described, a jab, a cross, a clinch, or a trap. And grappling mode.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
you
Yeah,
know,
exactly. I mean, you do not have to flow through the ranges. I am I'm the world's worst and best, I suppose, at maintaining a range. I do enjoy to maintain a standing range. I also work off because of Ragnarok. There is a fifth range involved in Ragnarok, and that is effective range. And just because I'm in kicking range doesn't mean I'm not punching or trapping. If I can effectively do it, then it still falls into that category for me. Whereas Jeet Kune Do does teach the separate ranges, it also teaches you how to transition between them. At that aspect, I do attack by combination, but my combination may still be trapping from boxing range.
And here's another thing to remember. While we are talking about the five ways of attack, you need to remember that you probably need to attack specific ways within certain ranges. Like you just said, you trap from a boxer's range. Obviously, you're not going to be trapping with your hands in a kicking range, because you can't make contact with your hands. So, our next point would be HIA or hand immobilization attack.
Right.
That's that you're not going to immobilize the hand with your hand from a kicker's range. You're just not going to do it. You'll probably do it in a trapping to grappling range by natural order or by nature. And for people such as Nathan, you might be comfortable in doing it in boxing range, but that's pushing your limits.
It is pushing limits. I do practice long range trapping. It is not a common thing that I've noticed among most trappers, but I do practice long range trapping and short range trapping. But
And while we're discussing the long range trapping. I mean, while we're discussing that, I know we're moving kind of quickly, but while we're discussing that, you know, the reason that it's dangerous, the reason that it is dangerous, is because a lot of times you find that you're slinging your opponent's arms away from you, and you're breaking contact. That or they'll pull back quickly, and they're breaking contact. So you're really losing the opportunity to immobilize, and you're actually losing a lot of control. And trapping really needs a contact
It
point.
does. It does. That's why, and that is exactly why you do not see a lot of long range trapping. Long range trapping is a very specific type of trapping. It is designed to get a hold of somebody from a distance. Now, once you get a hold of these people from this distance, mind you, long range trapping range is the distance from your full length extension of your arms to the tip of the full length extension of their arms. That is kicking range. That is the maximum range of long range trapping. What you do is, if they do, for whatever reason, stick their arm out there, get a hold of it, and keep a hold of it good. When they do pull back, move your feet, use their momentum to pull you into them harder. They're going to actually be pulling you while you're moving forward. It's not designed to immobilize until you're closer, but it is designed to get you a lot closer, a lot faster.
It is a entry level to immobilization.
Yes. Long
And, you
range
know,
trapping involves mostly entry, and you do not see a lot of it, but it is very effective.
and there are people out there who can do it. You know, I just personally prefer not. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing, either way. For an amateur, I wouldn't recommend doing it because, like I just said, it's not a good thing. You lose a lot of control. You're slinging people, and you think, well, I'm using their momentum and I'm throwing them out. Yeah, but are you breaking contact? Are you setting up the next movement? Somebody who's good at it, number one, will normally get closer. Or they will use long range to get closer without breaking contact.
Right.
That is the good and the
Oh
bad
yes,
of the long
there are a
range.
lot of cons to long range trapping, and it takes a lot of practice to make it any kind of in any kind of
Success.
successful. Yes, I
And
do practice it a lot of the times. Well put into use, it fails. And even, no, I mean seriously, even after having a decent amount of experience doing it, this is still long range trapping, even at its best, is still a 50-50 shot.
And guys, while we're talking on trapping, you see a lot of people doing JKD online or in schools, and they really want to focus on the trapping part of Jeet Kune Do. While that is good, in real life situations, your trapping ability is not going to be as advanced as what they're training, as well as towards the end, Bruce Lee was just so quick and so powerful that he broke away from a lot of the trapping and modified it and made it a lot simpler than what they're doing in class now. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to train those advanced things because when you go up against a successful trapper, you need to be able to hold your own. But in real life, you just don't meet a lot of people that are trained, let alone trained in trapping. So you need to take care not to overdevelop one range unless you're going to specialize in it.
Right, exactly.
Moving on to the attack by draw. Just what it states, ABD, attack by draw. It means I fake you out and you fall for it. You know,
Right.
that's what it means. I throw my hand up and really I'm kicking or something like that. I lower my hand to open my face. When you come for my face, I swing at you. I set you up for a counter. And the last one, progressive indirect attack. This is very difficult to explain on the air. I'm just going to be honest. It's easier to show you than to explain it to you, but here it goes. I'm going to try. What you do is start out with one line of attack. What you're doing, let's say we're using the jab, and I'm going for a body shot or what they call a mid-range or mid-line of attack. Okay?
Right.
I'm going to the body, and in the middle of it, I switch and I automatically come up into an uppercut and go for the chin. I switch lines of attack. I move from the mid line of attack to a high line of attack.
Right.
It's
Right.
progressive
Yes. This
because I never.
also falls into the last way of attack where it's talking about faking out. What you
Yeah.
do is you you literally make the opponent believe you're attacking the midline and instead attack the high line.
But the key word in this is progressive. You never pull back. You're continuously progressing, moving forward. Whereas with attack by draw, you can move
Oh yes,
backwards.
this is an advancement on attack by draw. You
And
you're attacking one line and change to another line during the process.
We talked about everything just about in JKD, but before I leave you, I want to tell you there's two techniques that make up the JKD. And if you're going to a school that claims to teach JKD and they are not teaching these two techniques, they're not drilling them every class over and over until you get them, they're not teaching JKD. That is the jab and the round kick or hook kick.
Yes.
Okay, it's also known as the roundhouse to a lot of different martial arts. Those two techniques, if they're not being drilled constantly, they are the bread and butter of JKD. They are the most used kick and the most used punch in JKD. And if you're not getting that, if you're not being trained with that, then you are being trained with something that's maybe close to it, maybe set up on the principles of it, but it's not it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Without the jab, without the hook kick or the roundhouse kick, Jeet Kune Do is
Ineffective.
ineffective because you use the jab and the roundhouse kick as feelers and entry tools.
Yes. As well as they're going to be some of your most powerful tools. They have the capability of knocking out when done correctly.
But anyway, that we'll wrap it up on that with Jeet Kune Do. I hope you have a much better idea of what Jeet Kune Do is and how it works. If you do have questions about it, we can come back to it, expound more on it. But we're going to go ahead and move on to our next segment. We have a lot of information to cover today. Next week, we'll be covering MMA, probably 2 to 3 weeks, just like we did with Jeet Kune Do. But we gave them a little bit of a rough way to go. We'll go ahead and give them some love the next couple weeks, discuss MMA, exactly what it is and how it works. In the
The
mean,
good and the
yes, the good and the
bad.
bad. We've talked about some bad things with Jeet Kune Do as well. But that being said, I'll go ahead and play this.
Celebrity Spotlight.
That's right, Celebrity Spotlight, where we highlight the people of martial arts. This week we're going to highlight Chuck Norris. We kind of talked about him a little bit last week. So we'll go ahead and highlight Chuck Norris. Carlos Ray Norris, or Chuck, was born in 1940 in Oklahoma.
And one of the better martial artists, I have to say, well known, nice guy. A lot of people give him a hard way to go with some of the t-shirts, and I love them.
Oh, I love them. I do. I absolutely
I'm
love them.
not gonna lie, but some of the impossible things, just I wish I had an example off the top of my head. For instance, the boogeyman checks under his bed for Chuck Norris, stuff like that. I find that hilarious. I love those t-shirts.
Well, the whole thing. A lot of people give Chuck Norris a hard time about his martial arts because they say, "Oh, he's not that great. You've seen Walker, Texas Ranger." Here's the thing. In the television shows and in movies, martial artists have to do what's called stunt martial arts. I mean,
Yes.
obviously. Now, Chuck Norris is performing martial arts at the aspect of having been a Texas Ranger. He's in cowboy boots and jeans.
And he hasn't once lost the cowboy
Exactly. Yeah,
hat.
he never loses the cowboy hat. But yes, it looks stilted. But I can tell you right now, by watching him breaking down what he's doing in the TV show, he's actually doing everything you honestly need for self-defense. Now,
And
could you use more?
he's doing it with great control.
Great
I mean,
control, and
awesome.
I mean, if you think you're better, put on a pair of jeans as tight as Chuck Norris's, and don't rip them while you're doing what he does in the show.
Yeah,
You know, I
really.
mean, honestly, it's a lot of control, there's a lot of skill behind it, and people gave it a hard time because it looked slow. Everything looks slower on film.
They do it on purpose because they want to number one, break down the move to where it's understandable, and number two, it takes up a little bit of what do you call it? A little bit of film. And it don't look as sloppy.
Right.
I mean, when you do something fast, yeah, that's awesome and good and stuff, but what they normally do for fast stuff is film it slow and then speed it up.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
really, they're doing the same thing Chuck Norris is doing, except they're speeding it up.
And exactly. Now, Chuck Norris was in the Air Force. He joined the Air Force in 1958. He was an air policeman, AP. He moved on to train in Tang Soo Do and many, many other arts. I know he had karate and some kickboxing and some other things. He also created Chun Kuk Do, which is the universal way. He is the Sok of the universal way.
And also he did train some in Jeet Kune Do.
Yes.
He trained under Bruce Lee. He trained in Taekwondo. He was really big, believe it or not, in the Korean forms. Also, he was really big into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. If you've watched Walker or even some of his Mission Impossible or and stuff like that, you'll always see him do a little bit of wrestling around the ground or grappling. He's always been into that. I admire him because he brings a form of realism to his movies. A lot of people, they may throw punches and kicks, but they neglect to roll around and get dirty,
Right.
if you will,
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
And he does.
Oh yeah, he does. You know, he was also a six-time world champion in American kickboxing. You know, he was being coached by Bruce Lee during that time. This man has been in there and he's done a lot. On top of all of that, he's I always have trouble with this word. Philanthropist. He gets out into the public eye and he helps. He has donated money to funds for kids, Veterans Administration, hospitalized veterans, United Way, Make-A-Wish. This guy does a lot of fundraising to help as many people as he can.
And the thing is, honestly, one of the things I really like about him in today's society is he claims to be a devout Christian. He is out there, and thinking back over his movies and stuff, I'm not going to say he hasn't, but I don't recall him ever being in a nudity scene. I don't recall him doing a lot of cussing.
Yeah, well, Lone Wolf McQuaid. So that's the thing. There's a lot of cussing in some of his films. But you're
But
right. For the most
what I'm
part.
referring to is he has a set of morals and he sticks to them.
Yes, he does. He makes good movies. He makes decent movies that that most families can sit down and watch. Now, at the same time, Lone Wolf McQuaid, I'm not
Yes.
sure if it was him or someone else, but I know there was someone partially nude in that film.
Yes.
You know, that was probably the worst film morality wise that he did though. And it wasn't that bad. It did have some language in it, but that's really it. It had some language and violence.
He drank a little bit of alcohol, but he was not a drunkard.
No,
And that
but you know
was, you know.
that's the thing. He was playing a character.
Yeah, and it probably had water in the bottle,
Oh yeah,
but
well
that's
it had to be, you know. I mean, but you know, let's go ahead
know.
and cover a little bit of his movie career. He was.
Where do we start? I'm looking right now. He's done The Cutter, Bells of
Yeah, The
Innocence.
Cutter is actually his newest film. That was done in 2005. So he's still working recently.
And he does stuff like Top Dog, that's, comedy
It was
and
and really more family oriented. Sidekicks as well was more family oriented. You know,
yes.
I grew up with that movie. I loved it. I still love it. I still watch it. You know, but it's a little funny and it's a, you know, it's for kids mostly. You know, I
And
watch it out of nostalgia. But
the thing is, the guy is so humble. It says he played in Curse of the Dragon. Curse of the Dragon was a biography on Bruce Lee, and he openly admits that Bruce Lee was a better fighter that,
Oh
could whoop
yeah.
him or beat him or whatever you want to call it. The guy is so humble. He's played in Walker, Texas Ranger 3, Survival Series, Hellbound. I mean, my God, we could
Oh
keep on
yeah,
going.
you know, I
Bruce
mean,
Lee and
well, I mean
Mania.
Delta Force, you know, Delta Force 1 and 2,
Hitman.
Missing in Action. You know, we've got You know, the
Heroes
Missing
and
in Action series,
Terror,
that
famous
was
for me.
three. Firewalker, that was a less well-known film, but a very good one. The Hero and the Terror. Now, if you want to watch a good movie that is about something that is based on some truth, Hero and the Terror is a very good movie where he plays a cop who is trying to find a serial killer. You know, and it's a
And
very good movie.
a lot of drama, a lot of drama. Very, very good. I remember watching it, being probably, oh, 9, 10 year old, something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was done in 88. I was maybe 9 year old, something like that. Invasion
Oh, I
USA. I
love that
like
movie.
that.
The
Helter
Octagon.
Silence. That was a little
I
far-fetched,
liked all of
but
them, man. I grew up with these movies. I absolutely love them. And Chuck Norris, and
yes.
I'll admit, Chuck Norris is my favorite actor.
And who did he not act with? I mean, my goodness, he act some of
Oh
the people
yeah.
he acted with oh, what's his name? Plays in Kill Bill and Kung Fu. You know who
You
I'm
would
talking about?
ask.
David Carradine.
Yeah, David Carradine. There it
David
is.
Carradine, he's played with Bruce Lee. He's played with a
All
lot of
kinds of people, man.
different famous people. And he's willing to take a back seat. He's willing to take a back seat. That is something I admire about him. He's willing to be the co-star.
Right.
You
Yeah.
know.
Anyway, well, that's you know that's Chuck Norris. He's our spotlight. I love him to death. But you know we could talk about Chuck for hours. We do need to move on. We're doing things a little bit different today. We have our main section is coming up this week instead of we didn't hit as much on traditional system like we normally do. So I'll go ahead and play this. Check out these sweet moves! Yeah! Right, that's Sweet Moves, and we are going to do something a little different this week. We got an email wanting to cover some information. This information just happens to be enormous. So what we're going to do.
I'm sorry. I'm
Oh,
sorry.
yeah. Well, what we're going to do this week is we're going to read half of the email right now. Or well, most of the email right now, and then we're going to cover the rest of the email in Q&A, because they both follow suit into the area, and that way we can spend a little more time talking about this.
Right. And this is very important. It's the foundation for any system of martial
Right.
arts.
So I'll go ahead
And
and
so we need to cover it.
right, and I'll go ahead and read the email here. It says, guys, I enjoy your podcast, especially the style and technique discussions. I would like to hear some talk on the pros and cons of open versus closed stances in fighting. And then, or your preferred stances. We'll cover our preferred stances as this week's Q&A because we didn't really get a whole lot. Now, this is from Mike in Texas. And what I've done here is I've got on the internet and I've done a decent amount of research and found a formula to determine the type of stance, and we will discuss the pros and cons of the stances.
And keep in mind, this is very difficult to cover because when somebody refers to an open and closed stance, we have no idea what they're talking about because depending on what style you're in or who you've been taught by, or where what notes you've read really determines how you look at a stance.
Right.
Whether the groin is opened, whether the legs are open, just different things. Are you talking about laterally or lengthwise? And so we felt a need to compile a very in-depth list to maybe help you adequately find something for yourself.
Right. Now with this list, you will be able to break down any stance and figure out what type of stance it is and what type of stance works best for you. You will also be able to take this and figure out your transitions, your transitional stances, and what is best to do in your transitional stances. So I really hope this helps
And
people out.
you'll also be able to very quickly evaluate your opponent, his balance, what foot he's going to kick
Exactly,
with,
yes.
how his mobility is going to work, and you may not be able to determine how fast he moves, but you should have a general idea of his mobility. I've seen some pretty big boys pushing 300
Oh,
pounds
yeah.
be able to chase somebody down very quickly, but even though I was surprised by their speed, I was not surprised by their mobility because they had to shift their weight first before they could move their feet. No matter how quick they are, you can always determine whether there has to be a shift of weight before, and that works just like a telegraph.
Right. Well, and that being said, we'll go ahead and get into this. Open or closed, this is the first part of the four-part formula. Open or closed, this refers to the lateral distance between the lead foot and the rear foot. Generally, open stances are more susceptible than closed stances to things like groin shots. Basically, an open stance is where you're facing forward more than you are facing sideways. A closed stance is a sideways stance. This is what we're going to do is we'll use that as our first part of the formula. So when you're standing in your stance, you're going to determine whether or not you're in open or closed stance. If you're standing the way you see a lot of the MMA fighters stand today, that is most likely going to be a closed stance. Jeet Kune Do employs an open stance, however.
Yes, and the thing is, it employs an open stance, and it knows that it's open. So
Exactly. That doesn't necessarily mean it's bad, but it does.
the reason why is it wants to expose the groin, so you see a temptation, and that's why the lead hand's carried a little low
Exactly.
to guard.
Exactly.
So it makes up for its down. It's
Okay, the next section of the formula is long or short. This refers to the distance from the lead foot to the rear foot. Short stances make you very agile and can be unstable. Long stances make you very stable, but at the sacrifice of agility. Most stances are approximately as wide as the shoulders, with variations. What this is talking
And
about is how far apart your feet are.
yes. It's very important to determine how far apart your feet are because of the fact that that controls your stability, not your balance, your stability. There is a difference. Stability is the capability of maintaining your balance, where having balance is a little bit different.
Yes. Oh,
You
yes,
should
exactly.
have balance regardless, but you should be able to maintain it by your footing.
Right, exactly. The next segment to the formula is high or low. This refers to the bend in the knees and the height relative to the normal standing position. Low stances are very powerful and they in the delivery of movement.
Great for shoots.
Yes,
Great
they're
for
great for
shoots.
shoots and things like that. Higher stances are very capable in moving quicker. You can move faster with a higher stance because you're closer to your natural walking position.
But your little bit, your center of gravity is higher, and like we were talking about earlier, on the long and short, maintaining stability, the high and low determines what type of balance you got. I'm a very erect person, but because I have naturally good balance, I am very agile. You can push on me and I react, I move, but I maintain my balance due to a combination of a high stance with a little bit longer width between my legs.
Right. Okay. The next segment on, or the last part of the formula is weighted or unweighted. Now, this refers to the amount of weight on each foot. An unweighted stance, are those where about 50% of the body weight is on each foot. A weighted stance, is a stance where you have more than 50% of the body weight on one foot. Now, this is weighted stances are much better for, say, agility. Or no. Unweighted stances are much better for agility. Weighted stances are much
Yes.
better for foundation.
Yes. A weighted stance, if you're not careful, although it's good for certain techniques and really more for what they call transitional stances, they've been known to get people in trouble because, like I mentioned earlier, you have to shift your weight before you can move a lot of times, either to the rear foot or to you have to balance it out. Whereas an unweighted stance, where the weight is 50-50, there's not as much shifting that needs to be taken place. You just step one way or the other. I don't understand why that is, but that's just how it
Yeah,
is.
exactly. Now,
You know?
to that effect, what we're going to do is I will take an example, say a Taekwondo's horse stance. Okay, the Taekwondo horse stance is a forward-facing horse stance. Now, I'll show you how to break that down and how to break down a transition from the horse stance. Okay, so the horse stance is an open stance. It is a long stance because the feet are far apart. It is a low stance because the knees are bent, and it is an unweighted stance. So what you have is an O L L U. All right. Now what you want to do when you're transitioning from this stance to another stance is you, if at all possible, you don't want to change any more than two of these variables. The less you change, the less you move. The less you move, the more you're fighting instead of moving. And it also dictates that it would be easier for you to get back into your stance that you're going to be going back to.
Now, keep in mind too, a lot of these stationary stances are not fight stances.
No. The horse
We
stance,
are
right. The horse stance is not a fight stance. We're just using it as an
as
example.
an example. Yeah, it is more of a training
Right.
stance.
So let's say you're moving from the horse stance to an actual fight stance. So to move to the fight stance, you're going to change probably three variables. You don't want to change three, but if you have to, you can. So what you're going to do is you're going to change your open to closed by stepping one way or the other. You're going to raise up a little bit. So you're going to, well, let me hold on. You're probably going to bring your feet together a little bit. So you're going to change long to short. And then you're also going to change from low to high. That's three variables. You just changed 75% of your stance because
But
you're
it's
still
a
probably,
natural
it is a
change.
natural change.
When you come from long to short, you're naturally going to raise up.
Right. Right, exactly.
So
Hopefully this,
it's a
right,
natural
yeah.
change.
Hopefully this formula will help you to be able to break down what stances you're in, what stances you prefer, and what stances work best for your body. It's a simple formula, but it will help you to better maintain your stances that work best for you, and it will help you to be able to transition better if you try to change no more than two variables, unless it's a natural progression. You will be able to change stances a lot more effectively if you can change no more than two variables. You can change quicker, and it's.
And really, the best thing you can do with stances is pick a fight stance that's comfortable for grappling and stand up.
Right.
That way you don't have to change anything.
Right. Now, the question at hand, the pros and cons, the difference between open and closed stances. The cons to a closed or to an open stance, definitely. You have more target available. Does that mean it's worse than a closed stance? No. If you practice an art like Jeet Kune Do that uses the extra amount of target as bait, then no. But you do have more target available. That means that even if they don't hit you just right, they're probably still going to hit you.
It means you need to focus.
Right. Well, yeah, you do. You have to work harder to maintain and defend an open stance than you do a closed stance.
Yes, and Jeet Kune Do is not for everybody, but Jeet Kune Do stance is flexible. If you're not a person who naturally guards the groin, you can work it to where your legs are a little bit more
Oh,
close,
yeah.
a little bit more turned. And then lower your hands. That way, you have someone striking at your face, over your groin.
Right.
There are different things you can do to entice the opponent. And Bruce Lee worded it like this: when it comes to a stance, you try to guard everything. That means everything's open a little
Right.
bit. It when you guard one side, that means the other side's open. No matter how well guarded the front side is, the back side's left open type thing.
Right. Oh,
So
yeah.
we need to pick a stance that you're
Right.
comfortable
To that
with.
point also, some of the pros about an open stance. Okay. You do have more facing forward, which means your head isn't turned as much. You are able to your line of sight is not obstructed as much. There are a lot of pros to having an open stance because you're facing the person. You automatically have a much larger range of sight and therefore targeting.
You just need to watch your knees, watch your groin, and you need to watch your face. Your abdomen, not so much, because any fighter should have a well-developed abdomen. Plus, your arms should naturally be in the way, guarding your center line. So it's your head, your groin, and your knees that you need to watch with an open
Right.
stance. You don't want a broke knee.
Right. Now with closed stances, some of the cons for closed stances are, for one, limited sight. When you're in a closed stance, the backside of your body, you're going to have to turn your head to see. You're going to have to turn your head to
Also,
see that side of the fight. That limits your sight. So yes, it's a huge con. You having troubles with your mic there?
yes,
Oh,
sorry about
that's
that.
fine.
Also, if you get if you strike with the lead hand and someone traps that lead hand to the inside of your, towards your center
Right, yeah,
line,
you can be turned backwards.
You could be opened up for kidney shots, rib shots, and there's no way you can block it with the opposite hand because it's in back.
Right. Now the pros and stuff to this are is that for one, by turning sideways, by closing your stance, you are producing much less target and much
Yes.
less vital target, I'll say. All of you is still there, but you're producing a lot less of the vital areas right out in front.
Yes,
Uh,
definitely.
because the areas that people are going to be hitting is the side of your leg, the lower part of your ribs, and that's not hard to defend in a closed stance. And then they're going to be hitting your arms and the side of your chest. These are not vital areas.
You're going to be producing limited amount of target and maximizing the opportunity to reach out and strike.
Exactly.
Plus, your footwork is going to be very good back and forth. Now, side to side might be a little tough, but back and forth, in other words, towards your opponent and away from your opponent, you're going to have what is called a push shuffle or a lunge, and it's going to be very powerful, very quick. You're going to have very good mobility. As long as you're not crossing your feet, you should be okay.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And in any stance, if you can avoid it,
And
never cross your
but
feet. It's a bad, bad thing.
as far as answering the favorite
Yeah.
stance,
Let me go ahead
I
and play the
have to
Q&A
go with
buffer before we do that. I'll go ahead and play that.
Hey, are you going to answer my question or what?
All right, Q&A. So we're going to go ahead and finish up the email from Mike and favorite stance type. What's your favorite stance?
I would have to go with Jeet Kune Do stance. There's three phases to Jeet Kune Do, so there's three different ways I can use a Jeet Kune Do stance.
Right, but the general fight stance, how does that break down with the formula?
The general fight stance is normally Bruce Lee really got big into fencing stance towards the end of his life. So it's more turnt, believe it or not. It's still open to where the groin can be striked, but it's not as open as a boxer stance.
It's a little bit of a mid-range between the two,
yes.
But it's still an open stance.
And I would have to say feet maintain a shoulder's distance, both in front and to the side.
So we'll say short.
And the knees are slightly bent.
So probably higher than lower.
Well, it's not – I would have to go with a mid on that one because it's not a high stance, but it's not a low stance.
Right.
It's not
– I mean, it's probably closer to the high end than the low end, right?
Yeah, you could grapple out of it or you could stand up and kickbox.
Okay.
You know, and as far as the last part goes – with the weighted or unweighted, I would have to say it is most of the time unweighted.
Right.
However, you can put, I would say, about 60% of the weight on the lead foot,
right.
And 40% on the rear foot.
So generally unweighted. So what?
Yes.
So what you normally use then is an open, short, high, unweighted stance.
Pretty much. And it varies, like I said.
Right. Now, to that effect, to show you the mass difference between the two of us, I'll go ahead and break down my general stance, which is from Ragnarok. Okay. Ragnarok employs a very specific stance called a shield stance, and it is based around the movements of a shield. It is a closed stance. Okay. It is also probably closer to long than short. The feet do exceed the shoulder length.
Yes.
You know, they do. It's a low stance. Not too low, but it is a lot lower than a generalized high stance. This offers a decent amount of lunge and things like that. And to that point, it is weighted. It is a foundational stance. It is, you know, it is very mobile for a weighted stance. But it is a weighted stance. It works off of a foundation point. This is my preferred stance.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. Both my stance and your stance can be very effective.
Oh, yeah. The difference, you know, the whole thing is, and this is where it comes down to it. This stance works best for me.
Exactly. There is not another Bruce Lee. There is not another Jackie Chan.
Right.
There is not, for that matter, another Nathan Witt. There is not another Kenny Malden.
Right.
There is not another me. There, you could not use my stance and be as successful as me.
Right. Exactly.
Doing the same thing I'm doing.
Exactly.
Because you're not a carbon copy.
Right. And that's why I went ahead and got the formula today, Mike. I really hope this formula helps you out in determining what actually works best for your body. Because at the end of the day, the pros and cons, there's pros and cons to both. What you need to find out more than anything is what works best for your body. And with this formula, then you can also figure out what works best in your transitions and make your stances and your transitions better for you and make them quicker and all of those things. It makes it better for you.
And you need to be willing to try different things,
yes,
to find out exactly what does fit your. It's one thing to do research and say, well, you know, this is a closed one, this is a long one, this is a short one, this is an open one. It's another thing to actually try it out and give it a chance. You know, a lot of people said, well, I've stand in the JKD stance. Nathan, you're one of the ones that have tried the JKD stance.
Yes.
It was very uncomfortable, if you admit the truth,
at
the beginning.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable at the beginning.
But you can do it now.
I can do it now, When I originally learned Jeet Kune Do, I absolutely hated the stance. Now, to that effect, I still hate the stance, but it was very difficult for me to do, and a lot of that has to do with some physical damage that I have received over the years.
But it was a very effective
Yes, it is
stance.
a
It
very effective stance. My
more
shoulders,
comfortable
right,
later,
my shoulders
but
don't
as
roll
yeah.
exactly right because of some bone breaks and things like that. So standing in that stance, when I were to punch, I have a bone spur that would dig in every time because of the direction I was using this. It's very uncomfortable for me. However, the stance itself, very effective for my body, doesn't make it the stance for me.
But what I was getting at is you're not going to be comfortable with the first stance you try the first time you try it.
No. No, and in fact,
Give
actually,
it a
you may find
chance.
yourself comfortable with a stance that you hated. I am very comfortable in the Jeet Kune Do stance. I still hate
Yeah.
it. You
Yeah,
know?
and it's an understandable reason why.
Oh yeah, but I mean, even changing it up, and I had to modify the stance to match my body because of some physical limitations. Even after modifying it to match my physical limitations, I still do not like that stance. It just doesn't fit me very well. Am I effective in it? Yes, but it is not my preferred choice in stances, even modified.
Yes.
But whereas with you, it's probably your favorite and best suited for your body.
Yes. And I move quite well in it, if I do say so myself.
Oh yeah. But anyway, I really hope that helps you out. If you have more questions, anytime anyone has questions, please email us at thematradio@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. I think next week, is it next week? I think we're going to be doing a contest. We're going to be giving some stuff away. I'm not entirely sure what yet, but we're going to do a contest, and hopefully that it gets
I
you all
think
involved
start
and gets you emailing. We want you to be
but if
involved.
you don't email, you don't win.
Yeah, exactly. But we want you, the community, to be involved. This show is for you. Don't get me wrong. We love talking. But this is also an outlet for us to talk about what we love. But at the end of the day,
Yes.
we want to do the show for you. We want to talk about what you want to hear about, and what makes martial arts awesome for you.
And Mike, if we did not answer your question adequately, please email us back and let us know. That way we can maybe get a little bit more in depth and actually nail the point on the head, if you will.
Yes, exactly. But we're gonna add a segment in this week. I've been thinking about it, and I really want to do this one segment. Now, this isn't a very long segment, but it is a segment that I think is a good idea because of the way my life,
Needed.
yes, it's needed. My life is busy like crazy, and I thought this would be something that might help other people who are experiencing a busy life, and not necessarily people that are busy. But I'll go ahead and play this new bumper here.
Weekly workout tip.
All right, this is the weekly workout tip. Now, the weekly workout tip, what I'm more doing with this, and it's one of these things where it's for people who really don't have a lot of time. Now, I am going to hit on general workout tips, but this is for people who are limited in time or limited in ability to do things. For instance, this week's tip, for people who don't have a lot of time, 15 sit-ups, 15 push-ups, 15 squats will go a long way to help your body stay active and to work all of your major areas in 10 to 15 minutes. Now,
And it probably did it quicker than
oh
that,
yeah,
honestly.
this will be quicker than this. The reason I say 10 to 15 minutes is because when you get this down, when you're doing well with this, you need to add to it. And maybe add a few other movements to it as well. But it, you know,
Yes.
15 minutes of a good solid working out is going to help your body. Is it going to make you buff? Is it going to rip you out? No, but it's going to limber up your joints. It's going to limber up your muscles. It's going to
It may not
make
even cause you to lose weight,
Right.
but it will maintain what you
Right.
got.
Yeah, it will not cause yeah, it may not cause you to lose weight, but what it will do is keep your muscles active. The reason I picked these three exercises, for one, they're easy to do. You don't need any equipment to do them. And well, I say easy. Some of them aren't easy, but you don't need anything to do them. You can do them in right in the middle of your living room floor. There's no problem. It also works the three major areas: the arms, legs, and
And
core.
there are natural things you can do, easy things to do to make them harder. For instance, inverted setups,
Right.
inverted push-ups. You could do what I call 21, where you pick up cards, make it a challenge, a goal to work up to with your squats, you know. Picking up 21 cards is it's and give you I if you're interested in that, if you're an advanced squatter and you're interested in that, write in, I'll get you the details.
Yeah.
But you know, it is a challenging game that I guarantee majority of the people who write in about it, even though they're advanced, probably will not be able to complete.
Yeah, I can't do it. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the honest God truth. My legs were locked up for 2 weeks.
Yeah, well,
Locked up straight.
you were also not prepared to do that when you did
No, I didn't.
that. But yeah.
But what I'm getting at is there are people out there that could do better than me, but it is a workout. It's a lot of fun because if you can do this workout on the last time you on the last card you're squatting, what was it? We counted up 41 times. On the
42,
last card,
42
42 times. I'm
for the
sorry,
last card.
42 times on the last card. You know, that's not counting all the squats before then.
Right.
So I mean,
Oh yeah, it's
that's a
enormous.
long way from 15.
But oh yeah, it's enormous, but the whole thing is that, with this, take about 10 to 15 minutes out of your day. You don't have to do these movements, but do a little bit of something. It'll make you feel better. It'll get your blood moving. It'll limber up your joints. You will feel better at the end of the day. Did you fall over?
No,
Okay.
no, no. I'm sorry.
No, it just sounded like you dropped your mic.
My mic is anyhow, we won't even go there, but
It'll be all right. It'll be all right. But anyway, yeah, just, do something. You don't have to do a lot. And if you don't have a lot of time, don't do a lot. But do a little something, especially like this. When you are training your martial arts later, you'll feel the difference. Especially the limberness in your joints. You'll feel the difference. So, anyway, that's our workout or weekly workout tip, and we're gonna go ahead and move on to this next. Yeah,
Another
yeah.
thing, another thing. Didn't we miss a week by accident?
We did. We are still trying to work out a schedule for this. I think we've about got it figured out. We'll be recording on Tuesdays and have the show out closer to the end of the week, hopefully. But I'm trying to get it out by Thursdays or Fridays.
The only reason I bring it up is because I didn't want anybody to think they missed a week or one of our shows got pulled or something. We got behind due to one of my family emergencies, and
Well, that
it
and
just threw everything
well,
behind. And so that's my fault,
no,
guys.
there's that and we were still trying to figure an exact schedule on getting this thing going. I work nights, and so when I work overtime, sometimes it's difficult to get this show recorded because it cuts right into the time that I actually need to be in bed.
Well, I spent a lot of time in the hospital that past
Yeah,
week,
I
and
know.
so.
But in our case, we're going to go ahead and move on to this next segment here.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the main event, 9 rounds of professional bickering. In the blue corner, we have Steel Hands Kitty. And in the red corner, we have Iron Face Nate.
All right, this is the main event where me and Kenny battle it out to see who can reign supreme. We take versus topic. If you have these topics, you want to send them into the show, please put in the subject line main event. That will keep me from opening them before the show. What I do is I open them on the show. We have no idea what's in here. And it's because I get the emails, I'm going to let Kenny pick the first topic so that he has the advantage. I couldn't have been preparing all week.
Well, what I'm going to do is, since number two worked for me last week, I'm going to go with it this week.
All right. So let's open this thing up here. All right, this week we're going to be doing Ninja versus Samurai.
Oh
this is a
man. hard
This is difficult because there's so much we could
I
do.
know, I know. However, as you know, this involves anything that these characters, or in this case, people, were capable of doing. Movies, video games, books, history.
Okay.
So, you want to go first? Basically what we do is we go back and forth about 9 times with this, and we just pretty much come to where we think it's basically come to an end. I'm gonna try and beat you, and you're gonna try and beat me with what these people
I'm
were
going to
capable
go
of.
with the legendary Kenshin Swordsmaster,
All right.
who existed in real life, and that's where I'm going to start. And
Okay, well, I suppose that's a good place to start. You can go with the legendary sword master. However, ninjutsu did also employ the sword. So to counterattack that, we're going to be using a shorter sword, and a much dirtier fighting style.
You got me on the ropes with that one.
Where,
What
whereas
I'm going
Kenshin was a great swordsman, he was not a dirty swordsman, and that makes a huge difference.
No, he was not. He was a very clean swordsman. However, he had very powerful strokes. Rumor has it, and that his strokes were so strong that hitting you, if you were to block, would cut your own hand.
Yeah.
But that's rumor, and I am employing that as of now.
Okay. So you're talking about the amount of power that he was able to produce?
The style of swordsmanship was rare.
Okay.
It was not common. So you may employ dirty tactics, but he would have battled, I think, and held his own.
Yeah, okay. To that effect, we'll go with the ninjutsu's use of the whip chain and the ability to remove the sword from the hand of an opponent before getting close enough to actually have to deal with it.
Then what I would do is use the sword, I can't even talk, the samurai's mobility to, instead of releasing the sword, lunging towards the ninja with the sword.
All right. To that effect, we'll also use the ninja's no mobility. The samurai were burdened with a lot of armor and heavy. Ninja were not. I would say the mobility of the ninja was much greater than the samurai. So we'll put mobility against mobility. I think this guy's getting out of the way.
It would depend if I was in armor or if I was walking down the street
True,
and
true.
you jumped me from the back.
Either way,
So,
I still think that he would get out of the way because the samurai did train in armor. So their mobility was trained for the aspect of armor and the movements of armor.
and I would counter with just that, because he's trained in armor. When he takes it off, he's obviously going to be like somebody removing weights.
Okay, so.
So he's going to maintain the speed.
Right, all right. Smoke bombs.
Ah,
Lunge
yes,
forward,
smoke
we're going to drop
bombs.
some smoke, get out of the way, you're not going to see where he is, and then he's going to attack.
And what I'm going to do is go with the old trick of a bandana across the eyes.
Okay.
The blind ninja, or the blind samurai, pardon me, if you will.
All right. To that effect, we're going to use darts.
Now you're making me either really agile, or you're making me
Impossibly
put armor
agile.
on.
Well, you've already said you don't have it on, so.
So, yeah. So with
To that
that,
effect, though, even if you did have it on, the face of the samurai was not generally covered.
actually, it was covered with a mask. The eyes were
It
open,
was only covered.
very
It
much
was
similar to the
only
ninja.
covered with a mask during ceremonial things. In battle, they did not generally cover it with a mask unless they were riding through the mist
But
to basically scare somebody into believing they were demons. And you know this.
what I'm going to go with is I'm going to play an underhanded card as my last ditch effort here. I'm going to go with a samurai for political reasons becoming a ninja to hide himself. So ninja versus ninja.
Okay. All right. But your ninja just now became a ninja?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
My samurai just for yeah, my samurai just became a
All
ninja.
right. To your attack, because I'm sure we're down to 9 rounds. To
Yes.
counter your attack of becoming a ninja, basically dropping the armor and pulling out all the ninja's tools. Because you're a cheater.
Hey,
We're
there's more than
gonna.
one way to
Oh,
win.
no. To that effect, we're gonna go with some mythology on the ninja. I'm going invisible.
Oh, mythology.
Yes, I said anything, didn't I? We're gonna go invisible and we're gonna use the legendary knife slit. The ninja was first and foremost an assassin. They were very good at their job. They did assassinate other ninja. And if I use a little bit of mythology here, your ninja can't even see my ninja coming.
And since you get last turn, I guess that's that. But anyhow, I enjoyed that very much
Was
so,
very good.
and
That was a good one. I really like that one.
you had me at me becoming a ninja. I had to actually forfeit, to be truthful, even though I've seen samurai or heard of samurai doing that for political
Oh, yeah.
purposes. Having to become what you fight, pretty
Well,
much
having to
lose
become
the
what you
fight.
fight to win is not really winning.
No, it's fighting dirty.
Right.
And so anyhow,
Well, that was a good one. I really enjoyed that one.
so I have to concede, but
All
anyhow,
right.
next time.
Woo 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 woo. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show. We're gonna go ahead and close out. If you have emails, questions, anything, send voice recordings, MP3s. Try to keep them under a minute to thematradio@gmail.com. We do not have a website up yet or a forum or anything of that nature. If you're interested in having forums and things like that, let me know. I'll get on it. I'll get it together. But right now, I haven't seen a huge demand for it. So, it's a little bit of work that I can avoid if I'm going to avoid it. Or, I mean, that if I can avoid, I'm going to avoid. But if you do want it, let us know. We'll get it up. It's not a problem. But yeah, if you got questions, anything, email us.
And as always, we hope you enjoyed the show. Like he said, any questions, comments, write to us and let us know that you do like the show, that you are enjoying it. Some things maybe that we haven't thought about including that you would like to see included. Maybe more time or less time,
Oh yeah,
or
and also, leave us some reviews on iTunes. I know a lot of you don't really feel like doing emails and stuff like that. Leave us a review on iTunes if you like the show. To that point, if you dislike the show, send us in. Let us know what you think because this show we're doing for you.
Yes.
And so if you like it, if you don't like it, let us know because we need to know that.
Yes, definitely. And this is Kenny Malden and Nathan Witt on Martial Art Talk Radio, taking you to the mat every week, same time, same channel. We'll see y'all later.
Take care.